Hello and welcome into another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I'm one half of your hosts. I am John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And thank you all for joining us yet again as we had another awesome episode of 90 Day Fiancé.
We're definitely coming to the end. I mean, besides like Kara and Guillermo getting married in 2 days, like it's definitely the end of the season. I think things are really like wrapping up now.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think it's great that everything is kind of moving into that direction. A lot of wedding planning stuff, a lot of twists and turns, prenup talk, and people threatening to go back to their home country.
So. I mean, that's every week, though. I do want to start
gets
this.
Gets more real now, though.
No, it definitely does, because it's like, oh shit, we actually have to get married?
Yeah.
I do want to start this podcast off with a moment of silence for our favorite couple getting a divorce. Okay, thank you. If you guys haven't heard, Pedro and Chantel have filed for a divorce from each other.
It's heartbreaking.
We're really upset about it. But this season of Family Chantel keeps on giving, so we're going to watch it to the end. We'll probably do, I know we teased in the beginning, like, we would do more podcasts about it. I just feel like it's kind of irrelevant at this point.
There's not enough content.
Yeah, I mean, Miss Karen is the MVP of every episode.
Miss Karen is incredible.
But we'll probably end up doing, like, a wrap of the entire season, just, like, on how we feel and stuff. But I feel like the season's spoiled now because every publication has picked up that they're divorced or getting divorced.
Thanks,
I should
TMZ.
Say. Yeah, thank you so much. And EW and Us Weekly and Twitter and Instagram and everything under the sun. But let's jump into these couples on this season who are inevitably probably going to get divorced.
Maybe.
I would say 90% of them.
All right, fair enough. Who do you want to start off with?
Let's start off with Patty and Thais.
They had a lot of content this week.
They did, but I also feel like it wasn't a lot of content.
Yeah, it was it was good, though. We find out that Patrick's family is heading to Orlando on the 22nd.
Of February, so they get married on 2-2-2-2-2.
Because his lucky number is 22?
I went too many twos, but you get it.
So he suggests that they should get married in Orlando, as this would be a perfect opportunity for all the family to be together, his lucky number, all that stuff. And Thais is upset by this, and it's just like, well, we could have gotten married in Las Vegas.
What I think is funny is, like, you know, it turns out that she's upset because she thinks Patrick's controlling everything. But I would be upset about getting married in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it's just like a random place to, like, you've lived in Texas the entire 90 days. And I get his family's going to be there. But all of a sudden it's like, all right, we're getting married in Orlando.
Yeah, it's super random.
Very.
So, I mean, you could get married at Universal, though. That'd probably be pretty dope.
That'd be pretty dope, and probably Disney, because we know Patrick's got that kind of coin. So, but yeah, I'm sure Thais would get pissed that he's
controlling
everything. But yeah, so Thais is pretty upset because she says that Patrick does everything that he wants. And, you know, they were having a discussion about the wedding, but he's paying for everything, so he should just be able to book everything that he wants to do.
Yeah, and I thought about that, and I was like, he is paying, so he does get more of a say. But also, like, he shouldn't really be using that as an excuse for the way that he's acting towards her. And also, like, she shouldn't be using it as a crutch to be like, well, you don't listen to anything I say.
But I do agree with you, but I feel like he constantly uses that against her. Like,
he does.
Well, I paid for the phone, so you can't track me. Well, I paid for this house, so you can't decorate. Well, it's like, dude, we get it. You pay for everything and you make a lot of money, but also, like, she can't work right now. So
yeah, it's the, like, the man-centric thing of, it is a matter of controlling everything by money.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand that, like, as of right now, obviously she can't work or anything, So he has to pay for everything. But like I said, I mean, don't constantly use it as an excuse or a way of you to make it look like it's okay for you to control everything.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is the whole issue with all of their segments, is that he controls everything, according to Thais. So Thais ends up going out with some friends that I thought was so funny. She made friends with these girls at the party that John threw that she did not want.
Absolutely hysterical.
I love it. Like, I, and she's like all hyped to have friends, and it's like, so you're happy that John had this party? Like,
she's mad John had the party, but she's happy that now she has friends from that party.
Yeah, but fuck John, because John makes my life miserable, according to Thais. And I should clarify, we love John.
Yes.
So I'm not saying F John.
But yeah, they go out to dinner, and Thais mentions to them that she's starting to have second thoughts about the wedding because of how controlling Patrick is being.
Yes. And, you know, she says that she doesn't know if she wants to get married. She thinks that he thinks he's being helpful, but he's not. And, you know, instead she sees it all as controlling. But I do want to focus on one part of their conversation, is she tells her friends that she hasn't told her dad yet.
Yes.
And they're like, what the F are you doing? You should tell your dad you're getting married.
So don't you think if everyone you're telling this to or everybody that knows this is like, what are you doing? Maybe you should do something to rectify the issue.
Yeah, you would think so. But she, and her excuse the entire time is, well, my dad doesn't like Patrick and I don't want Patrick to find out. And it's like, so you're being deceitful to both of them. Like, you're not telling your dad you're getting married, and you're not telling Patrick that your dad doesn't like him. So it's like, you're not telling either of them the truth.
Right. And what happens if you do get married? Your dad is going to be all pissed off and think that it was all Patrick's doing.
Exactly. And I mean, her friends point that out. John has pointed that out. Patrick has pointed that out. Like, how many other people need to tell her, like, hey, you should tell your dad you're getting married?
100%.
So yeah, so the whole conversation with her friends is just about how Patrick's controlling, especially when it comes to the wedding. I guess he ended up booking her hair and makeup artist, like signed the contract, paid for her without Thais ever doing like a trial or even speaking to her. So that's like something that she's really upset about.
Yeah, which is understandable, especially a wedding. I mean, this is the, you know, one of your biggest days of your life, if not the biggest day. So obviously, you want to look good and have somebody that you know and trust to do all of that for you on your day.
Of course. But, I mean, at the end of their episode or their scenes in this episode, he does make a valid point, which we'll get to. But, you know, I did agree with her in the moment that she should be involved with the wedding planning. Like, I get he just wants to have a good time and have a great party, but, like, involve your fiance in it a little bit. Like, it just seems like he's just taking control of the whole situation.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the point of like him paying for everything. And I wouldn't say he's like trying to control everything, but he wants certain things done a certain way, so he's taking like ownership of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just like moving forward with it.
Yeah, I totally see that, and I feel like that's also like a salesman's way of looking at things, where it's just 100%. Like, I'm taking control of this conversation, of the situation, of everything, and it's just go, 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 and get it done, without really thinking of how it's affecting other people.
Yeah, and that's just, like, his personality and how he acts. So.
Yeah, exactly. But, he ends up, Patrick ends up going, suit shopping with John, who accent wasn't as strong this episode, so pretty upsetting. But you know, John flat out tells Patrick like he doesn't know if he's happy.
Yeah.
And I mean, is John wrong?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Like, I don't know what happened where John all of a sudden became like the sound of reason in this entire segment or in this entire like storyline, but he's been spot on about everything.
Yeah. It's he sees people for who they are, and he's a very good judge of character. I also thought it was hilarious that while they were shopping, though, that Patrick couldn't button his neck.
Oh my god! And then John tried
and then
to
John
punch.
Couldn't. And then the saleswoman had to come over and do it for him.
And she did it in like 2 seconds.
I just thought that was hilarious.
I was like, Jesus Christ, what are they going to do on the actual wedding day? Like, they
gotta
don't
have somebody do it, I guess.
John better get those dainty little hands, which I cannot believe he said that to the saleswoman.
Oh my God. That was funny though. But yeah.
But you know, Patrick says like, you know, he's been taking control of everything and he's been feeling a certain way about the whole dad situation and he's been feeling overwhelmed. And John's like, well, have you talked to Thais about this? And he's like, no, I just keep everything inside, which like judging on Patrick's past, it makes sense. And I'm also one of those people where I bottle everything in and then it kind of explodes at the end. I've worked on it. Okay, people, I don't want to hear it. But you know, he says that he isn't expressing how he feels to Thais, and then it's really, really hard for him to do so. And John's pretty much like, hey, you gotta communicate with your fiance if you're feeling a certain way.
Yeah, and John was even saying like how Patrick likes to do things fast and kind of doesn't really look at everything that's going on at once, and that's part of the communication problem and part of why communication is difficult for Patrick, like because of that, you know, past that he does have. And he was even saying like kind of in the side interview, like for him it's natural to squat 600 pounds and it's not natural for him to communicate.
Well, he said, you know, it's natural for me to squat 600 pounds, and I don't understand people that don't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sir.
Bro, like, I can't. I'm sorry.
And I would say, like, 95% of people can't squat 600 pounds.
No, not even half of that. So it's all good. But, yeah, I thought, like, that part of it was funny. And then John even says, like, he thinks Patrick is delusional. Like, how is this supposed to last if you guys can't even communicate effectively before you're married?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we've talked about like this is the main problem with all of these couples where they just don't communicate effectively. And like, I don't know, I feel like the dad thing is really beating up Patrick inside, and Thais just sees it as controlling, and like they just need to sit down and hash it out, which I would say they kind of do by the end of the episode. I definitely think there's more to be said, but I think they really said their piece for now, and it seems like they're on the path together. But yeah, the last scene of them is Patrick and Thais are at the house, and he's making some food. And he said, you know, Patrick says that Thais can't help because she doesn't speak English, but she thinks he's being controlling when it comes to the wedding.
Yeah, and Thais like thought it was weird that Patrick's doing everything, and then Patrick is just like, well, this is like my natural way of doing things and keeping my feelings in, and I don't want to do everything, but I have to do everything.
I thought it was so funny when he's like, I don't want to do everything. And it's like, yeah, I don't blame you, dude. But
yeah, it's
you kind of are.
For sure. Like, it's a ton of stuff going on. And he says he'll be better and include Thais in the decisions. But with that being said, he also really wants her to tell her dad about everything. So we keep coming back to this situation of Thais not telling her dad, and this is part of the reason why Patrick is doing everything, because he also like wants to avoid that situation, I think, is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because how he's saying he bottles up his feelings, he doesn't really come out with them, so to avoid that situation he's making himself just go 100 miles an hour towards work and towards planning.
Mm-hmm.
So that he's not even, you know, he's not even looking at that issue.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's just, to me, he has to take control. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But Thais even says that she feels like Patrick treats her like a child. And I'm like, I don't really see that. If your name was Bilal, then maybe. But, like, I think it's more so like Jonathan was just saying, where he just wants to go a million miles an hour and get it done and take control and make sure that it's what they want. And then, you know, they both express to each other that they're having doubts about getting married. And ultimately they do come to a resolution, and they're actually going to end up speaking to her father about getting married.
Yeah. She agreed that she's going to call him and tell him about it. And she's really, really nervous about it, which obviously that's probably a nerve-wracking situation, especially when you've been sitting on it for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's bringing all of that to head all at once. So we'll see what happens when she does tell her dad. I think he's going to be a little taken aback by it and be really surprised that it's happening so soon. But I hope when she tells him, she positions it as Patrick wanted to tell him and she did not.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if she positions it any other way, that's fucked up.
But I feel like that is how she's going to position it, or, you know, something's going to come out about how he doesn't like her, or sorry, how he doesn't like Patrick. And she's going to be like, she's going to play the victim 100%. And, you know, this was all her doing.
Yeah.
So
it was an issue that was created because of her.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think it's going to be a shit show. Hopefully, I mean, from the next time on, and we'll talk about it later on in this episode, but it just seems like her dad doesn't like respond. Yeah, he's just very like quiet and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens. And I swear to God, if 90 Day does this bullshit where they tell them and then they go like, next time, Mom, I'm gonna lose my shit. I'm just saying. But that was it for them. Are there any like lasting words you have?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. My lucky number is 21, so close to 22. But other than that, no, that's pretty much it.
Well, at least you're not getting married on 2-1-2-1. 2-1-1-1. Anyway, my lucky number is also 21, and no, we're not like gross couples where we just copy each other.
It was before.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, who do you want to go to now?
I don't know. Any recommendations? Or
you want to go to the Dum Dums?
Oh God! Wow, that was so rude.
I mean, I would hope you know who I'm talking about.
I'm gonna say Emily and Kobe.
Ding 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 ding.
So we start off with,
they are Dum Dums though. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. They are.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's discuss. So
I have a lot of opinions about them.
So we start off with Kobe still being upset about the ring situation.
But Emily returned the ring.
She did, but Kobe still thinks and is under the assumption that Emily doesn't fully trust him.
Which is true. Which is totally true.
I agree.
I mean, she even said it, that she wasn't sure if he'd ever get her the ring. So she went and got it herself. But like,
why do that in the first place?
Exactly. Or why tell him you got another ring? Just get the ring.
Hide it if you're going to do it.
And return it. But my thing is, though, if he never got her a ring, was she just going to like walk around with it? And then he'd be like, where'd you get that ring? And she'd be like, well, you didn't get me a fucking ring, so I bought one. Like, it was going to be an argument no matter what. So I don't understand her reasoning behind getting a freaking ring.
No idea. No good could have come from that situation.
Not at all. But it's Emily. So, like, she does what she wants. Like, well, that's what her parents definitely say. So
after that.
So Emily.
Encounter situation.
So after that, they
go to run an errand.
An errand who Emily says Kobe has to come with her. And Kobe's like, why? Kobe does not want to run an errand with her at all.
No. And we find out that Emily is late
on her period
by a couple of weeks.
Which, like, come on. Like, all of a sudden, your fiancé is in the United States and your period is late a couple of weeks. Like, put two and two together.
What do you think's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
But we also find out that she wasn't taking any birth control.
Because Kobe didn't want her to take birth control. I wish we had a camera in here right now.
And then we get to the scene of them talking directly to the camera, and we find out that Emily has an app that tracks her ovulation cycle, and Kobe says Emily told him, "I'm not ovulating right now, so you can come in me." Like, yes, we're going to believe a fucking app about your ovulation schedule over using the endless
birth control methods.
Yes, there's
that are out there.
So many things you could have done.
So what I imagine being a female that gets her period.
Like, how are we relying on an app for this? I can't, like, fathom this.
What I imagine is she just downloaded, like, one of those period tracking apps that, like, every girl has. Which, by the way, you should totally delete now after the Roe v. Wade thing, just saying.
Definitely delete, because they're tracking.
Yes. And essentially what it does is you, if you've never had one before, you log every day that you have your period so that you learn your cycle and you learn, like, when it's going to come or when you're going to spot or when it's going to be ending. And some of them have an ovulation period, so you can see, like, in your I'm not a gynecologist or obstetricianist, so, like, I don't really know what I'm talking about. But essentially your ovulation period is the time between your periods where you can get pregnant. And a lot of these apps have a mark where it's like, hey, these 4 days you're ovulating. Mind you, it's a fucking app. So, I mean, I've been there where my period has been late or my period has been early, and I forget to log it because I'm going about my day or I'm going about my weeks, and then I go into the app and I'm like, oh shit, oh, I think I got my period this day or whatever. And your ovulation schedule can be all over the place. So I can almost guarantee you that she was not using this app correctly. And even if she was, why are you trusting a fucking app to tell you when you can get pregnant?
Stupidity.
And why? Stupidity. And why would she listen to him when it came to birth control? Why?
I don't know.
Like, you are the woman. You know your body. And his whole reasoning was like, oh, I know people that, like, had, like, deformed I don't know if he said deformed, but, like, had complications with babies after taking birth control.
Yeah.
And it's like, but did you? Like, are you just saying that? And then why did she listen to him?
Stupidity for the third time.
And also, sorry, I'm going on a little bit of a rant here, guys. Also, if you are not taking birth control and you don't want to be pregnant, A, don't do the pull-out method. B, wear a fucking condom. Or C, like Jonathan said, use the millions of other birth control options that are out there.
Yes, please. And especially for them, literally the only rule of living in the house was to not get pregnant.
Like, legit, the first episode or the second episode, whatever episode
they
were
first on. The only rule. You don't gotta pay rent. You're not even cooking dinner.
You are getting your wedding paid for. Don't get pregnant.
And you're pregnant.
What an idiot. So anyway, so they go to the pharmacy and they get not one, but two pregnancy tests.
Well, hey, you never know.
You never know. You really never know. And Emily decides to take the pregnancy test in the pharmacy.
Because she doesn't want to go home to take it because God forbid someone finds it.
Yeah. So they go into the bathroom and she pees on the sticks and...
pregnant.
What? She's pregnant? And, like, no one could ever see that coming.
No.
And, you know, you can totally tell that they are not happy about it.
No, they both agreed it wasn't the right time. But if you know it's not the right time, it goes back to using birth control.
What a novel concept. I just don't understand. I truly don't understand. If you are not on any form of birth control, why you're not at least pulling out. Like, And that's not even, like, that's not, I mean, that's no proven method of birth control at all. But, like, you're not even trying. Like, you are literally trying to get pregnant.
And so Emily plans on keeping it a secret from her parents. She's like, oh, yeah, definitely for a few months until I actually start showing I can keep it a secret.
And she says she's not going to tell them until after the wedding, which, like, I'm going to love to see this wedding where she's not drinking and her parents are going to be like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, it's going to end in turmoil.
But
and her dad is going to flip.
I know, but Kobe, I mean, Kobe is totally right in this situation where he says, like, he's nervous. Her parents are going to think, like, this Cameroonian man just came over here and got their daughter pregnant and has no plan for the future.
Yeah.
And he's right. He's totally right.
For sure. And then Emily, you know, is obviously being selfish once again.
What?
Says how all the pressure's on her because she has to do everything and she's got to make all the money. But then in that same vein, she's upset that Kobe's not more excited about it.
Yeah, she's like, I thought Kobe wanted more kids and I thought Kobe would be excited, but I can tell by his voice. And it's like, do you blame him? This man came to America with $4,000 and your dad straight up told him, like, that was nothing. And then he spent $1,200 on your stupid fucking ring that you bought yourself, and now you're all pissy that you need to make money because he doesn't have a green card and because your dumbass didn't use birth control.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anyway, this will probably be a controversial segment for us, this talking about Emily and Kobe, because I'm very passionate about it. And so I hope I didn't make an offense to anyone out there who is struggling through fertility or anything like that. Just need to make a note of that. Emily does say it takes two to tango, which I agree, but they're both fucking stupid.
Yep.
So I'm going to end on that note. Babe, why don't you take us to the next couple?
Who do you want to go to?
I have agreed with myself that Karen and Guillermo are last.
All right, so let's get him out of the way. Mr. Bilal. Oh,
my God. I will say.
And Shida.
He was not bad this episode.
He just seems depressed, like melancholy.
He's very, like, even keeled.
Which scares the shit out of me.
I feel like he's gonna come flip out. Kill me.
But so we start off, and it's with Shida, and she says how she likes how Bilal is super caring, super romantic.
They're going on a fucking picnic. Sorry, I'm cursing a lot again this episode, guys. I really hope you don't mind.
And yeah, so they're going out for a picnic, hanging out, and Shida tells Bilal that Shahida essentially tried to bully her. She was being super defensive.
She came over with an agenda.
She was fierce. She was mad. And then she mentions the prenup, which is messed up because, yes, you and Bilal have kids together, but it's not your relationship. You're not the one signing you're potentially signing the prenup.
I will say Bilal was 100% correct. And yeah. I agreed with him when he said, like, that prenup is between him and Shida.
Yeah.
And that's it.
He was like, I totally agree. Like, that's something that's between me and you and something that doesn't, you know, concern her or have her. But then same thing with that. And then he says that. But then he also mentions how the marriage is the contract.
So it literally was in the same breath because I wrote it in the same sentence.
Yeah.
I said, Bilal says prenup is between him and Shida and marriage is a business transaction. Like, bro, come on now. Like, why do you keep saying, why are you even getting married then?
Just say you agree with her, and then maybe when you get back to the house, bring it back up. But for now, just be on the good side.
Yeah, and just, like, that's my whole thing. Just, hey, you're totally right. Shahida should have never came and brought that up. It's between us. Like, let's talk about this when we get home. Let's not ruin this date again, because that's what I do all the time. But no, that would just make Bilal a smart person, and he's not.
Fair enough.
I have another thing about him being smart later on when we talk.
So, yeah. So after that, we get back to them, and he gives Shida a hard copy of the prenup now.
The way he handed that thing, though, if you ever handed me a paper like that, I'd probably throw it at you. It was just so, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it was just so, like, I'm above you kind of feel.
Like, here, this is something you can sign.
Exactly. Like, bro, get that out of my face. Anyway, he says in this segment, brung, when he should have said brought, and it annoyed the shit out of me. I really just needed a comment on it.
Well, he's living in the South.
The South.
So, Bilal even says, like, this is about, he tries to, like, position it as, like, this is building together. This whole thing is about building together. This is just to protect me of things that I already have, not what we will have.
But at the same time, Shida makes a really good point where she's like, he is a spouse with all of the money. He has everything. She gave up everything to come to the United States. And the analogy she makes is she feels like an infant in the United States. And it's totally right. She has no income to her name, no money, no assets, nothing. She doesn't have kids. Like, the only person and the only thing she has is Bilal. And now with this prenup, he's kind of putting that wedge between them that, like, you don't get my money. Like, this is everything I own. Like, really making it separate. And so she doesn't feel like it's fair. And I do agree with her.
Yeah. And she was even saying, like, what happens if I'm a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. and we get divorced. Like, I'm going to have to go back to Trinidad because I'm not going to have any money because I wasn't able to work or to do anything while I was taking care of the kids. So now I'm going to be left out and I'm going to have to go back.
Yeah.
Which totally makes sense.
And, you know, she says that she thinks Bilal has trust issues because of his previous divorce and that she's paying the price of it. And I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And she also mentioned to him that she thinks Shahida had an influence in creating this prenup.
I mean, is she wrong?
She definitely either, well, obviously she knows about it. So she must have said, like, make sure you include this or make sure you don't include that.
No. And,
like, I think there's, I don't think she wrote it, but I think there were some sort of influence from her into it.
I agree. And the only thing that Shahida should be influencing is when it comes to the kids.
That's it. That's it. All.
And that's it. I think Bilal kind of mentioned that.
Yeah.
That he needs to take care of his two kids, but that's it. But, I mean, I don't blame Shida for having, like, concerns or her guard up when it comes to this prenup, especially after Shahida said all that to her.
100%.
But I will say the smartest thing that Shida said this whole episode was that she's going to talk to a lawyer before signing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, most definitely. God.
Yeah, because he probably worded stuff a certain way where it'd be spawn and this, that, and the other thing. And he was even saying to her, well, do you plan on divorcing me? Do you plan on cheating on me? Well, that's all that matters if you sign this.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Maybe he had stuff in there where it was like, everything is split unless,
yeah,
like, Shida cheats on Bilal or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing is that,
because who knows? This could all be for nothing. If they,
of course,
split for mutual, what is it called?
Mutual
differences.
Whatever. Why Chantel and Pedro are getting divorced?
Then split it up, or split up from today till the time you get divorced.
So that's kind of what Bilal is saying, though. Is
right.
That,
no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying I agree with
him. Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were saying, like,
no, I'm saying I agree with him on that part.
I get you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, something I didn't understand is, did Bilal say that once, if they get divorced, they split things jointly?
I think he was saying yes, unless Shida cheated on him.
Got it. Okay.
I think that's how he was trying to position it. That's why he was like, well, you should read it.
Got it. Okay. Because That's what I was confused
but
about. Because
like everything
if she,
he already has,
yeah,
everything Bilal already has, she's not entitled to.
But my whole thing is like, say she opens up her own yoga studio in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Like by herself.
Like and uses then her money.
Her money.
Yeah.
And then they get divorced.
She keeps that.
Bilal doesn't get any of it.
I
see, that's
I
what
think,
I thought.
I think that's part of the joint.
Yeah.
Like, if they were to get divorced, like, mutually. So that's part of the pot.
I don't know. We're going to have to rewatch it. but that was it for them. Like I said, Bilal wasn't that terrible this episode.
Yeah, and then she, well, Shida finishes it off with saying that if things are not in the prenup to protect her, that she's going to go back to Trinidad.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so that was like the ending part of her in going into next week's episode.
Got it. Well, I will say I know they're gonna be together. I just have a feeling.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
She's way too good for him. But unfortunately, I have a feeling they're gonna stay together.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I think it'll eventually work itself out.
All right, who are we going to? Got three more couples.
It's all you.
Can you pick one?
Wow. I guess we'll go to Jabri and Miona.
I had a feeling that's why I wanted you to pick them. they're wearing the same sweaters.
From the previous episode, so it's either the same night.
No,
day.
It is. It's definitely the same night. Her makeup's exactly the same. However, 90 Day Fiancé producer is trying to pull a fast one on me and say that last week it was 30 days and now all of a sudden it's 25 days.
Slick.
No, you cannot.
Maybe they wash the sweaters.
There's no way they wash the sweaters and then wore them the same week. There's no way. Them?
Maybe.
Them? They are definitely a couple that wears the same outfit and then never wears it again.
Fair.
There's no way. It's the same night. I'm convinced.
So we start off and Jabri is saging the house to cleanse the air.
I mean, do you blame him? First off.
No.
Second, he's cleansing it completely wrong. So, bro, it didn't even do anything. It just made your house smell like sage.
It's not the worst thing.
Not at all. I love the way sage smells. But, like, if you actually want to cleanse your house, you should learn how to scrub it. So, Miona's going to talk to Mahala about their plans on getting eloped.
Yes. So, I don't know. This is an interesting scenario. Miona also said like how they plan on having a big wedding next year. So she mentioned that as well. And then Miona was asking Mahala like how she felt about all this because it's not in the state. And then,
well, no. So Miona tells Mahala that they're going to elope, but they're going to elope at Joshua Tree, which is in California, if anyone doesn't know that.
Yeah, not in the state.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, what I don't understand is why you're going to elope in Joshua Tree when, no offense, I'm sure there's forests and woods in South Dakota that you can get married in.
But it's not California.
So anyway, Mahala says that she can't come because it's out of state and there's not enough notice.
Yeah, which, I mean, they still don't even have a specific day. So maybe if they had a specific day of going there, Mahala and Brian would be able to go. But they still don't even have a day. So what are they going to do? Wake up on a Thursday and be like, oh, we're going today.
My whole thing is, though, I thought when you got eloped, you just, like, got married and didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, that's like the old school definition.
Like, so I was confused why, like, and I'm confused why Miona was telling Mahala this and not Jabri.
I think Jabri thinks this will help build the relationship between Miona and his mom.
Well, obviously not. but, you know, Mahala ends up saying, like, she'll support the relationship, like, as long as they're happy and stuff like that. But, I mean, we can all tell that no one really supports this relationship.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And then Mahala kind of asks things how things are going between the two of them, and Miona says Jabri doesn't want her to leave, so they're going to get married.
Which is, like, not what Jabri has told anyone, like, at all.
It's just hilarious to me, like, the thought process of what they say. They just it's just a walking contradiction.
Their whole scenes are just scripted at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why Jabri's mom is, like, in this at all, or, like, if he paid her, like, I don't know. But, like, this whole thing, like, Jabri and Miona just aren't making sense when it comes to each other and what they're saying to other people and then saying to themselves. Like, all of a sudden they went and got ice cream at a brewery, and Miona said she didn't want the beach wedding, and then an hour later they talk to Mahala and tell her they're getting eloped in Joshua Tree. Like, it's just, things aren't lining up.
No.
90 Day Fiancé should honestly be ashamed of themselves for putting this sham on this on every single episode. There hasn't been an episode that they haven't been on, and it's ridiculous. However, we will continue to talk about them. Miona goes back to Jabri and says, like, she thinks it was a really good combo with Mahala.
Yeah, and then we see how Mahala says she will support them, but to me, it seemed really forced when she was saying that. And then she goes and talks with Brian about the conversation.
And she tells Brian, like, well, they're not having the wedding anymore. And Brian's like, oh, she's going back to Serbia? And Mahala's like, not exactly. They're still getting married, just not the big wedding.
Yeah, and then Brian says he doesn't want to support a train wreck.
I mean, is he wrong?
No.
And he says he's not wrong. The two things I wrote down was, he doesn't think it's a compromise when it comes to the wedding, which is completely true.
Yeah.
And then he thinks it's bullshit, where, you know, Mahala's trying to be positive. He's saying, like, no one supports them at all.
Right.
And to what Jonathan just said, he does not want to support a train wreck, which is what it is.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, how can you not see that from watching this season up to this point?
Exactly. And especially, I know Jonathan doesn't see their stuff on Instagram. Which, by the way, if you're not following us, we just launched our Instagram. It's 90day_ourway. Give us a follow. But even on there, their whole relationship is just fake. It's all about the likes and the follows and the influencer-y type shit. And it's just, that's not what a relationship is built off of. No offense. But
no,
actually just offense, because they suck.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then to kind of close it out, we see Mahala, and she says how she doesn't really want Miona to come between their relationship with Jabri, which it seems like it has been over the last few weeks, especially with how Jabri and Miona are planning this eloping option, and how they're not, you know, Mahala and Brian aren't involved in the whole wedding aspect. So she really feels like Miona is coming between their relationship with Jabri, and she doesn't want that to continue to happen.
But it's going to continue to happen.
Of course.
And I know Jabri started the season by telling us, like, he beats his own drummer and he does his own thing. That's why, you know, he dresses how he does and follows the music and stuff. But at the same time, if your family is really important to you and your family doesn't like your spouse, you're going to have a really big problem going forward.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to be a constant argument and a constant picking sides.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I still think all this shit is fake. I don't really care for their storyline. That's all.
Fair enough.
All right, let's go to... I go back to Egypt. I go back to Russia. Oh, my God. Remember that with Julia?
Lord. I go back Rusha. All right. So even Muhammad, though. So they're going on a tour of the new wedding venue.
She looks banging. Like, she looked so good in this scene. I just had to state that.
For being 48, yeah, she looks very, very nice.
Well, the bikini. Hello. So they see this new venue and she starts crying.
Yeah. And she really hopes that Muhammad will understand, like, how important this wedding is to her with her reaction at this castle.
Yeah. And Muhammad says that Eve is distracted by having the perfect wedding and not getting his green card.
I mean, I agree.
But at the same time, I don't understand why none of this was discussed before he got here.
True.
B, all he cares about, and we will go through all of their scenes like we have been.
Yep.
All he cares about is getting a green card. All he cares about.
Pretty much.
He doesn't care about the wedding. He doesn't care about Eve. He doesn't care about anything. He cares about getting his green card. So they are touring the venue, which is really pretty. I thought it was very New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. And, you know, Eve is getting choked up here and there. But I do understand. I mean, she's 48. She has a child. She's never been married before. Like, it's, if you are one of those females that have always dreamed of their wedding, I'm sure it's a very exciting moment, an overwhelming moment to find the place that you really want to get married in.
Definitely, definitely. And we even see they go and look into the dining room and she's like, oh, I get to marry my king in a castle.
And he could give two shits.
He's like, oh, cool.
And he legitimately tells her after that comment, well, it would be quicker to get married at a mosque.
Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Like, after she's literally crying. Is crying, calling him her king, super happy to be getting married to him. And all he says is, well, it'd be quicker if we got married at a mosque.
And then he also says how Eve doesn't understand how difficult all this is for him to be here and not see his mom. Which, I mean, like, I get. But
I
also,
do get it.
But also, like, you see your future wife legit, like, tearing, have, like, tears rolling down her eyes, saying how much she wants to marry you and how great it is to marry you here. And you're just like, ah, whatever.
So this is my whole thing. I don't get, he's been, so they're 45 days till the 90, or 45 days to get married,
mm-hmm.
Which means literally halfway. Didn't he, like, not see Eve for, like, a year and a half?
Right.
Because of COVID.
Yeah.
So, like, was he this upset about not seeing Eve? Like, I don't understand. I truly don't understand his motive. Because it seems like he's all about, I want a green card, I want a green card, I want a green card. But I want to go back to Egypt. And I want to see my mom. So, something that I saw online, which I do agree with, is it seems like he just wants to get the green card and then bring his mom over here and then get rid of Eve.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he wants it too so that he can travel easier between the two places.
Yeah. Which I get. But then he wants to work. So, bro, you're just going to have, like, unlimited PTO and just go to Egypt all the time? Like, you're in America now. You don't get that shit. I mean, you do get unlimited PTO, but it's a scam. So, like.
Yeah. And we even see, like, how Lindsay was talking about, like, the paperwork and everything. Like, Muhammad wants Eve to start all of his paperwork so he can get that green card. And he says so he can begin his career and begin his journey.
His journey. Whereas, like, her journey, or at some point, and we'll talk about it, but at some point, you know, he says, like, my dreams. And she's like, well, her dream is to have a perfect wedding. So, like, y'all got to compromise somewhere. So, anyway, so they are at home now. And Muhammad texts. Literally, they're in the same house.
Whoa.
Sorry.
The mosque situation about the marriage. So, Muhammad wants to get married there. Like Lindsay said, but he wants to get married there so they can file for his adjustment of status faster. And then also, Eve was mentioning that she doesn't want to get married in the mosque for fearful because she's fearful of being judged and that she doesn't want, she wants Mohammed to understand like her side of the feelings on this, which I totally understand, because if she goes into the mosque in a certain wedding dress, like a traditional American wedding dress, everyone's going to be looking at her. They're going to be saying stuff. They're like, oh, this isn't, you know,
but also
Islamic.
Also, like, I feel like Mohammed would take it the wrong way, where, like,
for sure,
he would be like, oh, you want to convert now? And I mean, I don't know how it is. Like, I know how it is in Catholicism, because that's what I was grown up as, where if you want to get married in a Catholic church, you have to be Catholic. So, like, do you have to be Muslim to get married in a mosque? Like, I don't know the rules of that. But, like, I feel like Mohammed, any way you slice it, would take it the wrong way if they got married in the mosque.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. So that was kind of, like, why, another reason of why she didn't want to get married there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I 100% agree with her.
Oh, 100%. So
now they're at home.
Now they're at home.
And we get to the text scene around the world.
So Mohammed texts Eve while in the same house. He's literally in the kitchen and she's making the bed. Okay. That they should get him a new sponsor because she is so busy.
Yeah, I got it word for word.
Oh, you did? Can you please read it? I tried to screenshot.
I paused it.
You did? I tried to screenshot it. I will also, I'll make a note for everyone listening out there. Jonathan takes his notes on a laptop and I physically write mine down. So I was trying to screenshot it on my phone, and fucking Discovery Plus won't let you like screenshot things because they don't want you to share for the trademark. So I was trying to get it, so I was not writing down all those words. So Jonathan, please enlighten us.
So word for word, Muhammad texts Eve. So I think if you are so busy to do your paperwork for me, maybe we can find another sponsor, because this time is from my life, with 2 exclamation points. Next text. I need to be able to work and having a normal life in this country. That was word for word.
I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say.
Like, who is this guy?
Like, who are you? That's literally what he texted her.
Unbelievable.
Couldn't even say it to her face.
Just so, like, just so rude.
So.
Unbelievable.
Eve, like, comes out to the kitchen and she's like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know that meme or the Vine or whatever where it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's what it was. And he just, like, doesn't understand, like, why his papers aren't getting done. And he, like, doesn't care, and he doesn't think Eve cares for him. And he straight up says to her, you like to talk about yourself a lot, Eve.
Yeah, Eve is selfish and likes to talk about herself a lot, is literally what he said.
But straight up says, you like to talk about yourself a lot. Unbelievable. This fucking guy.
So, Eve, like, wants to have a wedding, and she says that to him, and, like, Mohammed straight up tells her, I don't care, and I don't care about you. And she's like, excuse me? And he's like, I don't care about you because you don't care about me. This is a conversation or an argument that you're having with your fiance.
Yeah. And now, because, like, all of this is happening, so Eve is just now questioning everything.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's like, well, I can just get a new sponsor. And she's like, that's literally not how it works. Like, she petitioned for him.
Yeah.
For him to come to the United States. He's here now. So if he files his paperwork with a new sponsor, it's going to look bad on all of them.
Yeah.
And then, like she said, she can't even file the paperwork until they're married.
Right, right.
Because it's a whole different visa process then.
And he was saying, like, oh, well, I was trying to help the situation.
Yeah.
Because he obviously doesn't know, like, how it works.
Exactly. But what I found really funny is she's like, oh, you looked this up? And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then at the end of the argument, he was like, oh, I don't know if I can get a new sponsor. It's like, so why have you been saying that?
Yeah, so did you look it up or not?
So, and then he curses, which is like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I cannot believe he just cursed at her. And the argument pretty much ends because he tells her if they don't get married sooner than she wants, he'll just go back to Egypt.
Yeah, and this is finally when Eve is like, we'll go.
But did you notice finally after she said, we'll go, he goes, so buy me my ticket or get me my ticket.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
She was like, no, get out of here.
Get me my ticket. No, buy your own fucking ticket and go back to Egypt.
But they obviously have different dreams. Neither one of them is budging on any of these topics, any of these situations.
And
neither
all
one is budging.
He wants is a green card. I will keep saying
send him back.
I don't believe he loves her.
No.
I don't believe he's here for the right reasons. He wants a fucking green card just to stay in America.
He saw an older, attractive woman and thought that he could con her.
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't trust him at all.
Nope.
Unfortunately, I do think they're going to end up getting married.
Nah.
And you don't think so?
Not at all. Not even like a slight chance.
So my whole thing is I could see her groveling.
Yeah.
And just getting married for the sake of him.
Nah, I don't see it. I feel like it's too much. She's going to be like, this is too much stress for me. Like, I have enough to worry about with Theron. Like,
it has been too much stress for her. And it's only been half the 90 days.
But you're going to do this for the next 35, 40 years?
I agree.
Nah. Nope.
I think they're going to get married.
Bye.
All right. So we're going to end on my favorite person to ever exist on the show, Guillermo.
Ever. Wow.
Yeah. Trying to think who else I really like. Benny is a good one.
Yeah. All right.
I think in terms of like being a like great soul.
Okay. Yeah. For sure. Definitely.
I will say my favorite person ever on 90 Day, David and Lana.
David and Lana?
Yeah. Or Dave, not David from David and Lana. I just love David because of the way he moans when he hugs people. And the fact that he is hella committed. I mean, he went to the Ukraine like 17 times to go meet Lana. Guillermo and Gara.
Yes.
They have 2 days. And in the past 2 weeks, they have bumped up their guest list from 4 to 40.
Yeah.
Which is like...
I think that's a good number.
I agree.
So you're close friends and family.
And I will say they did compromise like they were talking about.
Definitely.
You know, and in the 3 weeks, Kara said like she got a wedding dress, an officiant, the venue, you know, really putting everything together for this wedding. And we see, you can just tell she is stressed.
To the max. Well, she even says like she's doing all of it because she doesn't trust Guillermo with the tasks.
Which is terrible. Which, I mean.
And then she says it's fucked up that she has to do everything.
I mean, she is very like, oh, like woe is me kind of
thing.
Yeah,
like poor me.
Yeah, she reminds me of Patrick. So they're putting together wedding favors, which are little bottles of Patron, which I thought were adorable. And, you know, Guillermo hasn't done anything, but he's supporting her emotionally. And Guillermo knows she's stressed and wants to help, but Guillermo thinks that Kara doesn't trust him, which we know is true.
Exactly.
But at the same time, she kind of doesn't. Because she's like...
She definitely doesn't.
She is drilling him. She's like, do you have your vows? Yes. Do you have them in English and Spanish? Yes. Did someone read your English vows to make sure they're grammatically correct?
Are you getting a haircut? Where are you getting dressed? How are you getting there?
I love when she's like, how are you getting there? People.
Oh, people.
I'll figure it out. People. 2 days. This man is... Ugh, I love him.
But yeah, he was saying how he wants... Kara to trust him and stop being so controlling, and now he's really starting to think like, is this how it's gonna be all the time?
Yeah, because he said like, you know, she worked on the whole controlling thing, but now with the stress and everything, controlling Kara is back, is what he says.
She's back in action.
So he decides like, I'm gonna get my hair cut because that's what she wanted me to do. And he's very nervous about it.
Yeah, he's really nervous, which, hey, as a guy, I gotta say, getting your haircut is just one of those things where it's like, if they mess it up, it like it just hurts your soul a little bit. And he was even saying like it took him what, a couple years to find a good hairdresser.
Yeah, he said he went to like 6.
Yeah, so in the DR it took him like a year plus. And I'll even say when I originally moved from Rhode Island down to Florida, it took me like 8 different barbershops before I found one that I liked.
I mean, same here. I will say, and if you are a hairstylist from South Florida, please hit me up. But the hair cutting business down here and the hair business down here sucks.
Which is so surprising given everyone down here just cares about what they look like the time.
It's just terrible. I've been to about a dozen hair salons down here. They're all terrible. Anyway.
Rant over.
What? Rant over. I've been ranting a lot this episode. Right. I'm good. So sorry. So he meets his hairstylist, Kizzy.
Yep. Kizzy.
She's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And he asks for any advice when it comes to marriage because he's getting married in 2 days.
Communication and respect.
Is she wrong?
She's not wrong.
She said communication is key. And I feel like Guillermo is, you know, loosening up a little bit, feeling relaxed. So he tells Kizzy that Kara is controlling. Straight up stranger.
Yeah. She controls everything. She makes plans without him. She still goes out.
Guillermo says like he didn't think they would argue as much as they do. And then the computer gets brought up again. Which, again, I will reemphasize, if we do not learn the fate of the computer at the tell-all, I'm going to be pissed off.
We're going to find out.
We better. I will say that Kira responded to me on Instagram, so if we don't find out at the tell-all, I am DMing her and asking her, because I need to know.
Correct.
So anyway, so, you know, he's really nervous about the marriage, especially with the way that she is, Kara is, and hopes things will change. Whereas Kizzy, the hairstylist, says, boy, should have changed before that.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand how he's nervous and getting married, and I guess, like, once that day is really, you know, right in front of you, obviously you're going to overthink everything and start getting a little nervous regardless as to the situation. And he even says that, like, getting married in 90 days is a huge challenge, which, yeah, obviously it is a huge challenge. So,
yeah,
it'll be...
But it's a huge challenge for everyone that goes through this.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I think it's even more of a challenge for somebody like him who's, you know, only 23.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of plays into, you know, this is what I'm doing for the next, you know, 70, 75, 80 years. So it kind of sneaks up on him a little bit, but it'll be interesting to say the least. So then we get to them going out to dinner.
Which they both look hot as F. Like her jumper, hello, where did you get that? Because I need it.
Target.
Probably, because it was hot.
It's a Target exclusive.
Was it?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you knew something. No. I didn't. And Guillermo just looks charming as always.
But it's good, though, because now he's telling Kara that he's worried about how often she goes out. Even when he doesn't want to go out, they still go out. And then if he wants to leave early, she's like, will you leave? I'll stay.
Yeah.
And if she's going, like, he wants to know if she's going to get better. Is she going to change her habits? And she thinks it's totally out of left field and thinks it's fucked up he's doing this 2 days before the wedding.
Yeah, she said it's rude that he's bringing this up 2 days before the wedding. I thought the funniest part, though, was he says that, like, the hairdresser, like, Kizzy put questions in his mind. And then Kara asks, like, well, like, who have you been talking to about this? And he just goes, people.
People.
I love this man so much. So, yeah, I mean, he says, like, she's mean and controlling, and he says that the relationship should be built on respect, understanding, and communication. And he doesn't think that Kara does, I would say, any of these three.
But really, he doesn't feel respected by her.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, I don't disagree with him necessarily.
No. And he was even saying, like, she treats him poorly when they're in front of her friends and stuff. And she was just kind of, like, trying to play it off of, like, oh, he's having cold feet about it.
Yeah. And, you know, he even says he doesn't know if marriage is right for them or he wants to get married. And she's just like, well, if you don't know, then let's just leave.
Yeah.
And they literally so bounce. They leave. So
after having their margaritas.
Yeah. Did you also notice, though, when the waitress is like, oh, welcome, like, blah, blah, blah. She's like, can I get a drink? It's like, girl, calm yourself. I also saw a tweet last
night. Alcoholic?
Yeah. I also saw a tweet last night from, like, one of the 90 Day fans. And shout out to you if anyone's listening. But they were like, I thought you were saving money. Y'all order apps all the time.
Yeah, apps and drinks. like, yo, that makes your bill go up $30. $10 app, two $8 drinks, plus the tip added on. That's another $30.
I agree. So, sorry. We just got new mics. So, if you're hearing a little bit of feedback, I apologize. But that was it for the episode. There's a lot of stuff that happened. I'm so happy we finally got an episode that, like, really focused on Guillermo and Kara. I just find it funny that it's literally, like, 2 days before the wedding. Yeah, exactly. So then, on the next time on, hold on, I wrote them down, guys.
Woo!
I just have to find the notes. Here they are. Ari, goes wedding dress shopping, and she discloses that she's not sure if they're gonna get married.
Come on, Ari.
Ari, I'm sick of this game.
You're getting married, all right?
I'm sick of this game.
Would you stop? Do we have to send John over there?
Yo, John would be like, the father. That's something I didn't bring up, is my favorite part of John this episode was when he doesn't say, like, oh, Thais's dad, or, like, you know,
her father.
Her dad. It's the father. Every single time. I love that man.
Ari and Benny are getting married. Let's be real.
Yeah, of course. Guillermo is questioning the relationship, and Kara thinks he won't show up to the wedding.
He's going to show up.
And she discloses this to her friends, like, at a makeshift bachelorette party, it looks like. Eve tells her friend that Mohammed wants a new sponsor. Bilal tells Shida that a storybook love doesn't exist and Cinderella isn't real. What a romantic.
I thought he was so romantic and super caring.
That man does not give two shits about anything except for his money. Thais finally tells her dad that they're getting married, like we insinuated earlier, and he just seems very, very quiet, and we all know that she's gonna blame Patrick about it.
Yep.
And then, oh, sorry, two more things. Kobe sees a friend, which, by the way, his name is Temperature.
Hell yeah. Sean Paul? Temperature?
Oh, I hope so. and Kobe tells his friend that Emily is pregnant, which we all knew was going to happen.
Yep.
And then Mahala is kicking Miona and Jabri out, which, bye, bitches. See you later.
Remember when you came here and there was a time frame?
Well, now is the time frame. Is it the same day? It literally looks like the same day.
No, it can't be the same day. I just don't think they get sun where they are. Rapid City. Not much sun. So it always looks like it's, you know, 7 o'clock.
I wouldn't be surprised if the flyover state. So that was it for episode 13.
Chock full.
I definitely think we probably have about two more episodes. Two or three.
Yeah, I was going to say three.
Plus the tell-alls.
So five total.
Yeah, I would think so. Which kind of brings us to the middle to end of August, which we've been predicting. I will say I think they're all going to get married, unfortunately.
Not even Muhammad.
All right, standing on that horse.
Not even Muhammad, and yeah, everybody else will.
Unfortunately. I really hope we never see Jabri and Miona after this episode. I mean, after this season. Well, also after this episode, but and I really hope you enjoyed my rant about birth control. Do you have anything else, babe?
I'm looking forward to seeing Benny back next week.
I know, we're missing him this week.
I'm very disappointed.
We're missing him this week.
Looking forward to seeing Benny and Avi next week. And very excited that we're getting to the nitty gritty of these couples, and the weddings are always fun. So we'll see what happens. A lot to transpire over the next couple episodes, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, I will say I was really happy that Guillermo was the highlight of this episode, because
definitely
we have been lacking in seeing that man all season. He's just so amazing. So anyway, thanks for listening. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, at some point we just launched our Instagram. We have about 5 followers, and I think half of them are our family members. So if you could follow us, it is 90day_ourway, OURWAY. We'll be posting some fun stuff. There's a picture of John up there because I needed to emphasize how much I love him. You'll probably also finally see what we look like, or I might keep it a mystery. Who knows?
Oh.
But please follow us. Please rate us 5 stars. Thank you to everyone that's been listening. We have really been enjoying ourselves doing this and having a lot of fun. So we really couldn't do it without you. And we appreciate it.
And we'll see you here next week.
Bye.